I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, once again in the book of Proverbs. And it is in Proverbs chapter number 1, first chapter of the book of Proverbs. Let us read the Word of God, please. Proverbs chapter number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of an understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find our precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owner thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out of my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. And ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, when God placed in every parent's hands a precious little child, God not only gave you a wonderful gift, but God placed in your hands a solemn responsibility. And you and I, who are parents in the service today, must therefore be very, very careful in the influences that we place upon our children and the influences we allow others to place upon our children too. And on this Father's Sunday, I want to say something, and I want us to study from God's Word today. The challenges and meeting the challenge of bringing up children. Because there are many influences that are upon our children's lives. That if we are not careful, we remember this fact. That those influences can last and linger upon their lives to the very day of their death. I can honestly say that my soul is blessed when I see parents bringing their children to our Sabbath school, having a desire to bring them to God's house. My soul is blessed when I see them bringing them to God's house on a Sabbath morning. And as a family, they gather together and they worship the Lord. And on the Sunday evening as well, they have that desire to teach their children the Word of God. And when it comes to children's meeting, that parent has a godly desire in their heart that once again their child might be grounded and founded upon the precious, infallible, inspired Word of the Lord alone. And then when it comes as they move from childhood and children's meetings to youth, that parent still has that earnest desire that their young person, the young person in their family, has got a godly influence. And that parent will do everything that is possible to carry out the serious responsibility that they have as parents to see that their child is taught in the things of God. And I thank God for parents that take their parental responsibility serious. I want to tell you, you're not only raising children today, but you're building a young life. You're building a young adult for the future. And I know that many parents today have many hopes and dreams for their children and for their future. But I also know as a pastor for 40 years that there's many a parent has her hopes dashed. There's many a parent has all their dreams for their child. And the dreams have been scattered across the highway of the world as they watch their child moving from one disaster to the other. You know, many parents remember that first moment of holding a little bundle in their arms. And as they examined their little toes and they examined their little fingers, I know they rejoiced that that was the happiest moment in their life. Because God had given them such a wonderful, wonderful gift. But I also know that many parents, they're no longer smiling and there's no longer joy. And I know there are many parents today, and as they look at their young people, they wonder, even in tears, how did it all go so tragically wrong? I know there are fathers that are asking the question, in the midst of their heartache, in the midst of their tears, in the midst of their sleepless nights. And it seems to be that their child is not concerned or is not worried about the pain or the heartache that they put their parent through. And many a father and many a mother, as they look at their child and their rebellion and as they are in the depths of their trouble, and they cry out, oh God, where did it all go wrong? Where did it all go sadly wrong? I know that many will say the best time is when they're around your feet. And in many ways that's true. Because you know where they are. You know who they're with. But friends, listen, they can't stay there. You may desire your child to be always around your feet, but let me tell you, they won't stay there. Your child has got to grow. Your child has got to mature. Your child has got to become not only a little child, but into manhood. As God would bless them with life, and God will bless them with strength. But I know there are many parents that are saying to me today, preacher, is there a book? Is there a book that can aid me? Is there a book that can help me in raising my child and my children? And tell me what to do, and when things start to go wrong, where to go? You say, I want to be a good dad, and so you ought to. I want to be a good parent, but preacher, pastor today, is there some advice that you can give me? Well, can you give me a handbook that can help me, that can give me strength in a day of adversity, or give me wisdom in a day whenever my back's against the wall and the raising of my children, and I don't know what next to do? I thank God today that I can say, yes, there is. And I can recommend to you a book this morning. And I believe with all my heart, friend, that this book can help you. And can help me to be a good parent. The wonderful thing about it is this. I believe that every family in this congregation already has the book. And I trust and pray this morning you have it in your hand today. It's the Word of God. Now I know that the main purpose of this book, my friend, is to tell men and women their way to heaven. Men and women are lost. And the greatest question that ever could be asked is, how can I be right with God? How can I know that my sins are forgiven? How can I know peace with God? And friend, in this book, the fact is, the main purpose of this Bible is to tell men and women, young people, the way to heaven. But I think it's much more. I believe that this book this morning not only tells me the way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. But I believe that this book is wisdom to help me to live in this world until I get to heaven. To show me how that God wants you and me to live. Way back in the book of Genesis, God created man in his own image. And the Bible tells us that God then one day united the first man and the first woman in matrimony, and he established the wonderful institution of marriage. Therefore, we find that marriage was by divine origin. And as God looked at man, he saw that man was alone, and he said it was not good that man should be alone. And God says, I will make him a helpmeet. And the Bible tells us that God caused a great sleep or a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And Adam went into that deep sleep. And what that represents to me, friend, is this. That as Adam lay back in sleep, I have no doubt whatsoever that God revealed to Adam, because the secret of the Lord is with the saints. And I believe that God revealed to Adam what God was going to do for Adam. It was not good, Adam, that you should be alone. But amongst the creation that God had already made, there was no helpmeet for him. And God says, Adam, I'm going to give you a help that is meet for you. I'm going to give you a helper that is proper and appropriate for you. And the Bible tells us that God caused a deep sleep. Now, I tell you, my friend, I don't believe that God did that without Adam knowing. And I believe that as Adam went to sleep that day and God caused that deep sleep to fall upon Adam, that Adam was submitting to God's decision for him. And he was submitting that God would find him a helpmeet. And he trusted God to make the right choice. And he fell asleep in the will of God. In other words, Adam took his hand of the search, friend. And Adam simply fell asleep, allowing God to bring into his life God's choice for his life. And God put Adam asleep, and he took that rib or that bone out of Adam. And the Bible tells us he builded a woman. And I say to our young people in this service this morning, listen, the key to finding the person that God wants you to have in your life and wants you to marry, friend, listen, is to go asleep in God's will. Is to rest completely in Christ and allow God's will to be done in your life. And allow God to do the choosing. Because many a man has made his choice, friend. And let me tell you, he regretted it to the day he died. Because he walked out of the will of God. He did not lie down in perfect trust. He did not lie down in perfect sleep with God and say, Lord, I'm taking my hands of it. Oh God, I want you to choose. And there's many a man, listen, because the person hasn't come just swiftly to him. He has made his choice and he went out seeking this person. And I'll tell you this, grief came to his heart because he lived the rest of his days outside the will of God. And Adam was given the woman. God's choice. Now, recently there was a survey done, and the survey was done about failures among families. And when they were asked what the failures of the families were, one group said that they failed in matters of controlling their weight. And people today seem to be carried away with that thought, that they fail in the matter of controlling their weight. Others said they failed in the matter, this is important, of controlling their temper. And then others said in the survey they failed in the matter of their family finances. In other words, they got themselves into so much debt they didn't know where next to turn. And they nearly went into a nervous breakdown. But my friend, can I say this? Whenever families were surveyed concerning about the failures in families, there was one thing that was never mentioned. And friend, listen, there's a higher percentage in this failure than anything else. And it's this. It's the failures in the marriage. Homes that are ending up in divorce. Families that are being broken and cast asunder. And God gave Eve to Adam in the fulfillment of his will. And he brought her unto Adam. You want to change not only a country, friend. If you want to change a civilization, then you will undermine the very foundation of civilization that God had given. And that is the institution of marriage. The very foundation of married life between one man and one woman. And through that union, God brings forth children. And it's within that union, my friend, not in the midst of this immorality and society in which we're living with so much immorality in every hand, friend. It is within the bonds of the family union that God brings forth children. And the Bible says that children are the heritage of the Lord. And that brings me, therefore, to this point. On this Father's Son. God has given me a heritage, preacher. Tell me, how do I raise my children? How do I raise them? Go to the book of Proverbs with me, please. Proverbs chapter 1. It says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. You know, a proverb is in many ways simply a rule, to rule. In other words, in these proverbs, friends, we have rules to govern our lives. There are statements here. In reality, a proverb is just simply a short statement of truth. It's a short statement of truth about some aspect of daily living. It's a pithy statement of the Holy Ghost. We think of some of the proverbs of man, look before you leap. A stitch in time, it saves nine. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. These little pithy statements of man, the proverbs of man. But in God's word, we have a book of proverbs. Given by the inspiration of God, friend. In other words, what we have in this book of Proverbs are timeless truths that the Holy Ghost has grouped together, and yet every one of them generally stands on its own. You could take practically every simple little proverb, and it stands on its own, and yet the Holy Ghost has grouped these together. And God, in his great wisdom, has condensed into these short statements great truths for you and me about the meaning of life, or to help us in our lives. Now, what I want you to notice in the book of Proverbs is this. It's a father talking to his son. Let's just see that. It said the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Go down to verse 8. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse 10. My son, or verse 8. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Go down to verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. And here, friend, we find a father who is wanting to guide his son, who wants to give his son the great principles, the great foundation principles for the journey of life, to help them, to guide them in their daily living. And if you take the book of Proverbs, and you and I were to take all of these Proverbs, friend, there is something, there is a great principle that God's establishing in these that will guide us in our lives. And here's a father, and he wants to give the best advice to a son. Why? Because a father knows that there are many challenges that are facing his son. And you and I know this morning, gathered in God's house, that there are great and grave challenges that our children are facing and the younger generation are having to face. And therefore, it is important that whilst they're young, friend, to instill into their hearts the principles, the rules that will guide them, and by the grace of God, that will hold them steady in a day of challenge and adversity. I want you to notice with me in verse number 22 that there are three stages in this young person's life. Verse 22. It says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Now, underscore that. A simple one. And then it says, and the scorners, how long will the scorners delight in their scorning? And then thirdly it says, how long will the fools hate knowledge? And I believe that there in a young rebel's life, in a young person who is in rebellion, friend, you see three stages and three steps. You see the simple one, and then he moves from simplicity to scorning, and then he moves from scorning to the fool. And remember, my friend, this is the downward path that many young people are taking today. Listen, there's so many young people, and friend, listen, they're dying in hopelessness. You know that this last few weeks, in one school, I think in one class, in County Armagh, three young people have committed suicide. I listened to the news this morning, and in listening to the news on the radio, I heard of two young people, and they entered into an agreement together to go to a place outside Omagh, and there entered in together to commit suicide. Friend, listen, we are living in a day and an age when we're losing many of the young people, and many of them are so caught up with sin and so caught up with the things of the world, and they're living in rebellion. And then they come to the place where they see there's no hope, and the devil says, listen, leave it all, without telling them they're going to hell. And I want us to think just for a few moments this morning. Because, friend, let me tell you, this could be any of our children. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed. You know, You've often heard of fireside lawyers. There's so many people can criticize children, let me tell you, in the bringing up of children. I tell you, there are many broken-hearted fathers today. They don't know where to go and what to do. There's many a mother cries herself to sleep for her child never comes home. But you don't see the tears. But she wets her pillow night after night in brokenness. And remember, that mother used to hold that little child in a lovely little bundle in her arms, and she thought it was the greatest gift that she ever had. And so it was, friend. That little child was a gift from God, the heritage of the Lord. But many of her children are going to hell. Many of them have been lost. Generation! Losing a generation living in rebellion because the devil's taking them and polluting them and damning them and destroying them. And it's sad to say there are many others that don't seem to care. Parents that don't care that their child is out all night. Parents that don't care where they lie down at night and who they lie down with. Friend, I'll tell you, there's a threefold step here. But the sad thing is this, it's a threefold step downward. Let's come to it quickly. It says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Now, some people say, you know, you see that word simple, that simply means that it's a simpleton. No, friend, there's nothing to do with that. Ye simple ones, the word there means open, or in many ways naive ones. Could I put it another way? Easily led ones. And friend, that's exactly your child and mine. They can be easily influenced, they can be easily led. And I believe there in that verse we have a picture of all of our children when they're small. They are open. They're open to influences, as we'll see. They are naive. They are so easily led. Keep your hand in Proverbs 1. Go to chapter 22. We read it this morning as well. Proverbs chapter 2, 22, verse number 15. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You see that lovely wee girl? Those lovely little curls? See that lovely little smile, friend, that just seems to melt you? See that little boy? That dad's the pride of your life, the pride of your heart. Let me tell you this. This is what the Holy Ghost says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of your child. Foolishness is bound. And before your child becomes guilty of the consciousness of sin and the tendencies of sin and wickedness that's in their heart, that wickedness that is working within him or her, it's bound in the heart of your child. Listen, your child and my children, they are susceptible to these things. They are so easily led. They are open to all of these sinful influences. And that's why it's imperative today that we do something about them. Then you say, well, what do I do, preacher? If foolishness is bound in their heart, you don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child to steal. You have to teach them ABC, but you don't have to teach them all of these things. Why? You don't have to teach them to go wrong. My friend, listen, you have to correct them to encourage them to go right. Why is it? Because the Holy Ghost says, listen, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. It's already there. It's a nature. We're born in sin. And therefore, what can we do? What ought we to do? Look at the book of Proverbs chapter 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Go down to verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. What does that mean, friend? Listen, you've got to teach your children. You've got to teach them. You've got to teach them. Because they are teachable. Notice the word there in verse 4. To the young man, knowledge. Knowledge. My friend, that's not simply information. We live in an age of information. My, there's so much information, both at school and in other things and through other mediums, that my, that's getting into the hearts of our young people. And you can know an awful lot of things. You can have an awful lot of information, but I'll tell you this. You can fail miserably in life. You can be a disaster in living. But it's something else than information. It's the gaining of knowledge. So what do we teach our children? What we have to teach our children? We need to teach them knowledge and discretion. Where do we find it? We find it in God's Word. You've got to teach your children truth. And God's Word is truth. And I'll tell you this, my friend. When you teach your child the Word of God, you're teaching them truths for daily living. For daily living. And if you really love your child, you will teach them the Word of God. I wonder in this congregation this morning, how many parents in this congregation have sat down in their childhood of their children and read to their children the Word of God? How many of them took time to read to their children the Word of God, to get the truth of God instilled in their hearts whilst they're young? Because their children are open, their children are naive in many ways, their children are easily led, and they're getting so much information and so much pollution of other things. We need to teach them the truth, and God's Word is truth. Our children need to acquire the knowledge of the truth of God. Verse 2 it says, to know wisdom. Wisdom. Friend, that's not knowledge in itself. Wisdom. What does that mean? It's to be, the word means to be skillful with the hand. In other words, the ability to apply the truth. I tell you, parents need wisdom. Because as they would give their children the knowledge of God's truth, they need wisdom to be able to apply that truth to their child's life. You see, wisdom is the end to which all knowledge and instruction leads. Knowledge in itself is not sufficient. People can have knowledge and yet in themselves, friend, not know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ or not know the way to heaven. But there needs to be an appreciation of what God requires of us and what you and I and what your child owes to God, friend. Listen, your child, in God they live, in God they move, in God they have their being. Their breath to God, He's the God that made them. He's the God that not only made them, He's the God that sustains them. And He's the God who also has the right to call them. And so they not only need knowledge, and you need to teach them knowledge, and the pure knowledge is the Word of God, but you need to teach them the wisdom of God, how that is to be applied to their young hearts. Now what does it say in verse 22? How long, ye simple ones? God doesn't want your child to remain simple. Your God doesn't want your child to remain as a simple person, friend. Listen, God wants them, yes, to grow in grace and in knowledge. There is a beautiful simplicity in the child's life. There's an openness there. But friend, they need to grow. They've got to mature. They need to know about the issues of life. Because remember this. They're open. They're open. And if they're open for you as a parent, don't you forget, they're open to the world. And I tell you, the Bible tells us that the devil was most subtle, the serpent was most subtle than any other beast of the field. And I'll tell you, the devil's subtle, friend, when it comes to your child. And you need to teach them. Why? Why? Go to Proverbs 14. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15, it says this. The simple, here's the word of God, friend. The simple believeth every word. They believe every word. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. In other words, friend, listen. Your child's gullible. Your child's gullible. And the world can feed them with rubbish, friend. And your child's open. And my child's open. And they're naive, they're gullible. Because they believe every word. That's why the Holy Ghost says, try the spirits. And see whether they be of God. Test them. And I tell you, the devil will do everything to destroy your child. Listen, your child is open to every possible influence. Listen, friend. They're open to the influences of television. And the sad reality is this today, many of our young people, and all they see on television today is glorified and not even glorified pornography. And perversion. And they believe every word. And when they look at the films, friend, and they see a woman supposed to be joined to one man, and then she sees her on the arm of another man. And that's fed from the earliest days. Remember this, their minds, the word of God says, they believe every word. Your child's simple. They believe every word. In other words, they're open to this. I'll tell you, there's only a short step between the seeing of it and the practicing of it. And think of the hours that all of our children have sat in front of a television screen, friend, and the devil has pumped it into their hearts and into their minds. They're open. They're not only open to the influences of television, friend. They're also open to the influences of music. And as a pastor of this congregation, I've got to tell you, listen, parents, in God's name, if you could really listen to some of the lyrics, the so-called lyrics that your children are listening to, as they walk around with their headsets, and they have it plugged right into their ears, friend. Listen, and it's going into their hearts. If you could only hear some of that rubbish, garbage, perversion, violence, vulgarity, sexual immorality, it's all there in the lyrics. Many a parent's not bothered what their child's listening to. What music they're listening to, and the satanic forces of hell are pervading and entering into the hearts and the minds of our young people. Listen, remember this, and they're open to it. They're open to it. They believe every word. And all of that muck, the world is fed. Now, television in itself, friend, is not evil. And music of itself is not evil. But the devil always takes everything and perverts it, doesn't he? There's something else. There's a computer. And you know what they're finding today, friend, in this so-called computer age? They're finding many of these young people who are committing suicide are on chat lines together. I was called one night to look at one of these things where young people now put in their details and statements about themselves. And I'll tell you, my friend, some of the young people from this area too. And I can tell you this, it would grieve your soul. Grieve you. And they're chatting together. And because the person's not there, my, they're opening up themselves and they're opening up their hearts and they're opening up their minds and they're telling the secrets of their hearts to strangers. They think, let me tell you, friend, there's nobody a stranger on a computer anymore. And once you put it down, it's there. And they're finding out that quite a number of these young people that are committing suicide are joining in together. They say in actual fact that there was a woman, the young person that was drowned up outside Oma. There's a woman that when these chaplains told the young people how actually to drown themselves and to succeed in doing it, lest they would try and wouldn't succeed and be left as a vegetable. And when she was challenged, she hadn't even the decency to say she's sorry. Parent, I tell you this in God's name. Listen, I'm saying to every parent this morning. You just watch very carefully about that computer. What it's been used for. Because I'll tell you this, your child is open. That's what the Holy Ghost says. The Holy Ghost says, they're open. And I'll tell you this, parent, in God's name, the devil's after our children. And the devil will do everything to destroy our children. I was listening to a man talking about it used to be whenever you were at school. He said there was a survey done away years ago. The main problems of school was running in halls or talking in classrooms or unfinished homeworks. And that's not the problems of school today. Schools are, many of them are out of total control. Children running wild, rebellion, immorality, drugs. It's all there. Got to finish. Time's away. Your child's teachable, friend. In God's name, teach them. Teach them the truth. Because the world's teaching them the ways of folly. And your child is gullible. Here's my last thought. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I want you to remember this. Whilst your child is gullible, and whilst your child is naive, and whilst your child, the Holy Ghost says, listen, it's open, and is therefore teachable. You remember your child's accountable. We're not getting a second run at this journey, friend. We're gathered in God's house this morning, and I'll tell you this, we're not in a trial run. This is the real thing. And there's coming a day when man will stand before God. And if you and I don't teach our children the truth of God, and if you and I don't have a burden for them, and we just let them get onto the wrong influences and we let them go blindly on, I'll tell you this. They'll pay the penalty someday of grave dishonor and painful humiliation. And sad for many of them, complete ruin. But even sadder still, they'll close their eyes in death and they'll go to hell for all eternity. May God give us a burden on this Father's Sunday to be good fathers, to be good mothers, and pray that God will bring them to the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning. Bless it to our hearts. And we think of those today that are still without Thee. Lord, I pray You'll save them. And for our children, that You'll reach them for Jesus. We ask it in Your name.